Good morning, Pastor Heaton, with you here in the Bible Baptist Hour each Sunday morning, brought to you right here. So we hope you'll join us. Our announcer will give you an address where you can write to us at the end of the program. Please do so. Take it down. Listen carefully. If we can be of any help to you, let us know. Help you find a church, or if you're looking for one, whatever it might be, we'd be glad to help you do that. The sermon, new one today, called Why Did This Happen? John chapter 11. And we have a lot of those questions, don't we? Why did this happen? Bible Baptist Church, located in Lupton on the east side of the street. No matter which way you come in, you can find us. 9:45 Sunday school, 11 o'clock the morning service, 6 o'clock the evening service, midweek Thursday, 7 o'clock. Teen time, Sunday morning, 10 o'clock. Our younger youth, Thursday night, 7 o'clock. Ages 9 through 12. I think that'll be it. Right now we'll get into the message, John chapter 11, why did this happen? But before we get there, song, Jesus knows what you're going through, and he does.
He knows when your heart is broken and you feel you can't go on. He knows when you feel forsaken, when you're weary and wounded alone. Just kneel down and in prayer be true. Jesus knows what you're going through. Jesus knows what you're going through. He has promised he'll never leave you. Lean on him, feel his touch. Child, he loves you so much. Jesus knows what you're going through. He knows when you're on the mountain and the sun is shining bright. In the valley, the darkest of night, just look up, for he cares for you. Jesus knows what you're going through. Jesus knows what you're going through. He has promised he'll never leave you. Him, feel his touch. Child, he loves you so much. Jesus knows what you're going through. Jesus knows what you're going through. He has promised he'll never leave you. Lean on him, feel his touch. Child, he loves you so much. Jesus knows what you're going through.
All right, John chapter 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment, wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if he walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may wake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleeps, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he spoke of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, he's dead. You know, that's how he has to talk to you and me. Plainly sometimes. Hey, knucklehead. And I am glad for your sake that I was not there, to the intent you might believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. That's the doubting guy. Would we had more doubters with that kind of backbone. Then when Jesus came, he found that he was laying in the grave 4 days already. And I remind you that in the eastern countries, they still don't embalm people. And at 120 degrees in the shade, in 4 days, he stinketh. Okay? Some of y'all haven't been dead that long, and you aren't. Now, Bethany was nigh to Jerusalem about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brethren. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, thou had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou shalt ask of God, God will give thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ. Is that what he said? Is that what he said? He didn't say that. The Son of, I'm not trying to make a doctrinal problem here. I'm just going to show you something here. You'll get it in a minute. The Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth into the grave to weep there. And when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself to the grave, cometh to the grave, and it was a cave and a stone laid upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said to him, Lord, but this time he stinketh. For he's been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee? How quickly we forget what he said. Huh? I believe, Lord, I believe, I believe, I believe. Take away the stone. But he's been dead 4 days and he stinks. Don't you remember what I said? That if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee, thou hast heard me. And I knew that, and I know that thou, excuse me, and I knew that thou heardest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot, grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus said unto him, loose him, and let him go. Let's pray. Father, I need some help. I cannot do this alone. So please, help me to be able to give to these people that which you'd have them to hear. Not what I want to say, but what you want them to hear. Help them to hear what you want them to hear. Help them to pay attention, Lord, not to me necessarily, but to the Spirit of God. Now, I believe, Lord, if they'll pay attention, they will hear the Spirit of God. Lord, I can't pray for those necessarily who are not here that they'll get something, but Lord, I believe it's possible for you to take from this place that which you've given to someone who wasn't even here, maybe via one of us. Lord, whatever it is that it takes for you to do your job, please do so today, I pray. And I'd ask that anybody in this place does not know you as their Savior, this would be the day of their salvation. Any saint of God, facing some difficulties, would turn them over to you and realize they can't do anything about them anyway. Help us, we pray. I ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want you to go back to verse 21, and I'm going to take a text from this verse here, and I'm going to tell you something today. I really don't know how to preach this. I was reading the scriptures this week, and the Lord gave me something out of here, and I'm not even sure how to preach it, so I'm just going to start, okay? And we'll see where it goes from there. But verse 21 says, "Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died." Now, I'm going to be honest with you. That would have been my exact reaction. I promise you that in this room, there are people today who have said, "Lord, if you'd just done something about it, this would have never taken place." Three times we read about Jesus visiting with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. In this passage here, of course, Luke 10, and then the next very next chapter, you see in verse 1, "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which has been dead and raised from the dead. And there he made him a supper with Martha," and so forth. Okay? There's no doubt that Jesus was very close with this family. You know, Jesus had a lot of acquaintance, but Mary, Martha, and Lazarus appear to be some special people to him. It seems clear that Mary and Martha expected Jesus to stop doing whatever it was he was doing, that he was going to rush right over to their house and tend to their brother's physical situation. After all, wasn't he their friend? Had he not been in their house? Had Mary not anointed his feet, wiped him with her hair? Didn't they love him? And was not their relationship with him special? Then they expected, when they sent the messenger out with the message, "Lazarus is sick, you better come," that he would come running. Haven't we all had the same type of anxious attitude? Haven't we all prayed and thought God, that the God of the universe, had stopped attending to his duties and come run to our side? Huh? Amen. Haven't we prayed and we just thought, "God, you got to stop whatever it is you're doing, because I'm praying"? Yet we all can testify to the fact that at times it would appear he either ignored us, or else he had taken a vacation and didn't wish to be bothered. Huh? I think I'm talking to people this morning that have prayed about things and sought God about things, and you think God must be on the other side of Jupiter out of radio contact. As the saying goes, it appears that God's slower than molasses in January. When this happens, we immediately think it must be sin in our life. God hates us. Maybe we're really not saved. We fail to realize that the God of this universe might just be wiser than we are. Huh? Did you ever stop to think God might have a bit more intelligence than you? Did you ever think that God might have graduated from college and you didn't? Huh? We're quick to judge God. We're quick to judge his waiting as wrong. We think that a quick answer means we are some type of a super Christian. As I read through this passage, things came to my mind that had never come before, and I suppose that's because God wanted me to see something, I guess. But some things come to my mind that had never come before. As a matter of fact, we were on our way home the other day, and I said to my wife, "Have you ever thought about these things over here?" And I began to give her some stuff. And my wife doesn't think, so she said, "No, I have never thought." But she, like me, you read those things, and unless the Spirit of God begins to show you things, you sometimes don't see things in there. Why? Because we read them with a certain purpose in mind. But all of a sudden, you know, I think that's why things happen to us the way they happen sometimes. Because God couldn't get us to think any other way if things was always the same. We like things to always be the same, but sometimes God doesn't let things be the same. So I'm going to talk to you this morning on why did this happen? Why did this happen? Now, here's some things to think about. Let's go to John 9 a minute. Don't lose your place here in this chapter, because we will be back. But look here in John 9, verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which is blind from birth. And his disciple asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? See how it goes? Amen. I mean, I promise you this morning, that we all know some people that if something began to happen to them, we'd say, that's it, sin, buddy, I'll tell you, that's sin going to catch you. Forgetting there's a whole bunch in your life that ain't caught up to you yet. Who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus said, oh, it was his parents. They were nasty people. He said, neither. Now, let me say, first of all, everything doesn't happen just to bad people. Everything doesn't happen just to bad people. See, you think when you got saved, nothing's ever supposed to happen to you. I have a sneaking suspicion that in this room today, there are people sitting here who are farther away from a relationship with Jesus Christ than Mary, Martha, and Lazarus enjoyed. And yet somehow or another, you think you have some special privilege with the God of the universe. They didn't. We think that only wicked and evil people have bad things happen to them. Back over here in John 11 a minute. And I've read through here and I've said to myself, why is verse 5 in there? This doesn't really go along with anything. It's like an insert. But it's not an insert if you understand the context of the story. Jesus is about to tell you something about himself that you wouldn't believe if that wasn't in there. Now, Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and the brother Lazarus. Jesus said, I want you to know before we get into this story, I love them. Because you could read that without that statement in there, and the story is still the same. But Jesus said, hey, I want you to know I love them. And it's hard for us to realize this morning that when this happened, that Jesus really loves you. Come on. Don't sit there and look at me like, I don't know what you're talking about. Yes, there are things that are going to come along in your life. If they haven't, hang around. They will. Some encouragement this morning, okay? If nothing bad's going on, hang around. It will. Okay? All right. I mean, I'll guarantee you there are people sitting down in Florida this morning looking at a wiped out home wondering how could God care about them. But I'm going to tell you what, Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and the brother Lazarus. Because everything bad or everything doesn't happen just to bad people. As a matter of fact, really what bothers us is kind of what bothered Job. They're cowgendrous and everything's going right with them. Here I am, a man who eschewed evil, and I'm sitting in an ash pile scraping the boils off of my body and everything I own's gone. Ephesians 2. Now remember, don't lose your place here. If you grab a track or something and throw it in there. Turn it up a little bit. We can't hear the music. Because they won't be able to hear in about 4 years at all, but Ephesians 2. Now, there are verses in the Bible that are written for you. You ought to read them. The reason why we as Christians get down in the mouth and get upset is because we don't know what the Bible says about God's relationship. Okay? Now, let me show you something. Okay? Now, keep in mind. Well, never mind. Let's follow this. But God, verse 4, I'm by the way. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his what? Wherewith he what? Do you get that? I don't care what comes your way. I don't care how the pie's divided. I don't care what happens. He loved Mary, Martha, and her brother Lazarus. And he said that, and he had that verse put in there. So as you're reading the story about what he's getting ready to do, you'll realize he loved them. You understand that? Because why? Everything that happens doesn't happen just to bad people. You understand this morning? You understand this morning, I don't care what's going on in your life or what's going to happen tomorrow, next week. And listen, it's easy, preacher, to preach it because it ain't happening to you right now. But it's going to happen somewhere along the line. As Brother Kevin Weber said when he was here, he said, "Preacher, do you have a backup to this programming?" I said, "No." He said, "Get one. It's not if you're going to break down. It's just when is it going to happen." That computer is going to give out someday. Something's going to happen someday. It's not if, it's just when. And if something hasn't come along yet and stubbed your toe and busted your nose, hang around. It's coming. But when it comes, remember this, he loved Mary, Martha, and the brother Lazarus. And that great love wherein he loved us is available to everybody in this room who's saved. You keep that in mind. Now back to verse 4 here in John 11. And when Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified therewith." Now, some of you are not going to get this right off the bat, but you will. Everything is not as serious as you make it. Everything is not as serious as you make it. There are those of you, I'm telling you what, just let something happen, you think the entire world's probably going to cave in tomorrow. I mean, I remember back when Clinton got elected. I remember the next morning, and the world was talking about it, and the Christians were talking about it. Clinton got elected, and he was shocked. As a matter of fact, you go back and look at them tapes, they were shocked they got elected. He didn't think he'd get elected. And he got elected, and everybody says, "Oh, man, it's over now. It's over now. Clinton, yeah, I'll tell you what, you know, better sell your house and move to, you know, Bahamas or something. Move down there where they come through." They just, see, everything's not as serious as you make it. We have there are those of you in this room, because all of us are made up different. There are those of you in this world, anything that happens, you make something out of it. It don't matter if you make something out of it. "Well, did you hear it happen? I'm going to tell you what, this is..." You begin to make things happen and aren't going to happen. You force them to happen because you think they ought to happen. As bad as it may be, you're going to make it happen because it has to happen. You know why Jonah didn't go to Nineveh? Because he knew God was merciful, and if he preached, those people might do it. And he didn't want them bunch of pagans to live. He wanted them destroyed. And he made more out of the deal than was out of it. I mean, to get swallowed by a whale and get puked back up, that's a whole lot to go through to make something more serious than this, don't you think? But some of you do that. Some of you just be puked just so it'd be serious. You just love to be puked. Some of you just enjoy trouble. You live for it. If it's not, you make something happen so that you can have something going on. Amen. You make things more serious than what they are. You know, your child gets caught cheating and you want to hang them. Forgetting how much you cheated. Forgetting how you got through it. Forgetting how God taught you some lessons. You think thing when anything happens, you make a major catastrophe out of it. And that's... They said, he's sick unto death. Jesus said, "Oh, he's not going to die. He'll be all right."
Thank you for listening to the Bible Baptist Hour. It is our prayer that our message today will be helpful to your growth as a saved person. If you are not saved, you can be saved today by asking Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. Let us know you listened by writing to the Bible Baptist Hour, 3338 Main Street, Lupton, Michigan, 48635. Join us again next week for a new message.